If you've never been here before, just know children are part of our worship. They're part of our experience. We'll never apologize for that. We had a worship night here Friday night, and the group that was here, they actually called down all of our, there were just people everywhere, including children, families with children, and they called them down to pray for them, and they've traveled around for a couple of years. They're all from this area, but they travel around this area, and they said they've never seen anything like what they observed, and that is young families with their children worshiping Jesus together, not worrying about distraction, not worrying about noise, and that's a blessing to me. I know children make noise. My grandson's screams. I mean, if you hear a screech when he walks in the room, that's probably Dominic. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and we will never not let children be part of our midst. And so so if you're new to here today, children are part of the mix, and we're so grateful to be able to do that. God is so good to us. He's so good to us. I come in here today. We're introduced this word for the year last week, and it was basically just an outline of how this word came about. And I'm gonna put up here in a minute a slide that kind of summarizes a little bit. I posted the flyer on our Facebook page and on my personal Facebook page, and just explaining a little bit about it. And I'll put that up here in a minute, but. What always amazes me is how God is 10 steps ahead of us, always. If we could ever count, you know, how far ahead of he is of us, but he's just so far ahead of us. This word, as I introduced it last week, I'm just going to put it out there again before I even tell you just a couple of testimonies before I get going here. It is a proactive word. It is a proactive word. So when Sherry gives us a word that says, you know, that the prodigals are coming, you know, they're coming. You know, he brought us a prodigal before we ever revealed the word. And then when we were here for worship night, the worship leader looks out and says, your prodigals are coming home. And we had one right in our midst that had already come home. And then we have this word. So don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Right now, maybe you're the conqueror for them. In your prayers, in your love, in the way you reach out. But Holy Spirit will do the work. We're just vessels. We're vessels. Speak in Jesus. Speak in Jesus. So More Than Conquerors, part two. Go to that second slide. This is kind of what I posted with the flyer, just to explain for those that weren't here and for those that are, you know, those who are worshiping at home. This is kind of what I said to explain this word. And for those that weren't here last week, we'll catch you up a little bit. As I post our word for 2022, I do so with this caveat. More Than Conquerors goes beyond the personal. Goes beyond the personal. And I'll pause there for a minute and reiterate. Yes, I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus. That's a personal word. We all know that, and we get that, and we need to embrace that. Because I believe we actually need to embrace that before we can embrace it for somebody else. So we're more than conquerors. But it goes beyond the personal. Yes, we are personally more than conquerors, and we need to know that and live that. But this word is so much more than our personal victories. This is about going into battle for others deeply, in prayer, in fasting, in tears, in outreach beyond what is comfortable or convenient, in love that invades darkness and deception with unrelenting aggression, humility, and commitment. It's speaking Jesus from the mountains, in the streets, speaking Jesus to every heart, to every mind, to addictions, to depression, to fear, to anxiety, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, and to strangers. So many are already engaging in the assignments that are unfolding. This mandate is not for the faint of heart, but everybody is invited and included. Join us if you dare to believe beyond your own belief. And some will recognize the last part of that was a prophetic word that was spoken over me in 2010, that you believe beyond your own belief. And there's sometimes you look at what's in front of you and you can't see beyond that, but in Christ we see beyond that. We can see beyond that. And so if you dare to do that, dive right in. And I want to say this also before I dive more into this message is the Holy Spirit is, again, already doing the stuff. When I came in Friday night, there is such an atmosphere for him to do things beyond what we think he can do or wants to do, beyond what we're used to him doing. And so I want to encourage you as we're progressing into this year, and your obedience. See, there's so many people. I don't know how. I'm not going to ask because it's not for public knowledge. But I know there's lots of people in this room who are praying and fasting. And see, the Holy Spirit can't help but respond to that because it's biblical. It's part of His plan, and He can't help but do things in response to that. And what He does, and this is really where I'm going with this message, is He does those things when we ask Him. He does things. I can't heal anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't change anybody. But He can, and it's all He's asking for us is our obedience. When Pastor Shane gave that message in December about prayer and fasting and challenged us, and people started diving into that, he started responding immediately, just as he responded to Daniel's prayer when Daniel cried out to God from the moment he started praying. The scripture says the Lord heard him. From the moment you guys started responding to Pastor Shane's message, the Lord has started to do, he started to hear our prayers. There are answers to some of my specific prayers sitting in here today. And it's not because I'm Pastor Jeff. He's hearing us. He's hearing you. And so we need to know that. If this is the first time you're here, and you're not praying or fasting for this year, I want to encourage you to do so. You can go back and listen to Pastor Shane's message from December. It's called the Blessed Are the Hungry. Blessed Are the Hungry. And then also listen to his message from the first of the year. It was called Sudden Change. Both deal with these challenges that the Lord is bringing in front of us and saying, participate in this stuff because I have plans for you and I have things I'm doing. And he's doing them. So let's go to the next slide. I don't know why this isn't progressing, but I'm going to start by again sharing some things that continually confirm this word for me. These were some clips from a book Pastor Shane's reading called New Era of Glory. And I just want to, I'm just going to share them and then we'll dive into some scriptures here. But this is from a book called New Era of Glory, and Pastor Shane was sending, I think he sent these to me, I don't know, it was last week or the week before. But here's what it says. The greatest push of my kingdom will now begin. The greatest push of my kingdom will now begin. Guess what? We get to be part of the greatest push of his kingdom right now. Know that. This book was written before the word More Than Conquerors came to us, but the Lord knew. He knew, and he knew Pastor Shane was going to be reading it, and he knew Pastor Shane was going to be challenged by it. So the greatest push of my kingdom will now begin. It is the season of my surge, says the Lord, and I underline my surge because I don't know if it was your first message when we were shut down. Is that? Yeah, I think it was Pastor Shane's very first message. When we were shut down for 8 weeks in 2020, Shane was up to speak that next Sunday, and you know, my initial thought was, well, maybe I shouldn't put that pressure on him. But I asked him, I said, hey, are you okay to speak, you know, to do an online message? You know, you're on the schedule to do that. He said, oh, yeah, I'm okay. That was his first message. And the Lord had showed him while we were shut down that the Lord was doing something even while we were apart. Now, you know, I said last week, I'll never shut this building down again, and I won't. Yeah. But there were things that went on during that time that were purposeful. We were shut down for a period. But one of the things the Lord showed Shane, and this was the heart of his message, was there's going to be a surge. There's going to be a surge take place when things reopen and when we're, you know, there's going to be a surge. There's going to be a surge of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a surge of my people. There's going to be a surge. And we're experiencing surge. And, you know, so I don't know if he noticed that. I can't imagine he didn't. But I know as soon as I saw it, it's a season of my surge. There are people who are hungry. There are people that are hungry, and the world is lying to them. The world is deceiving them. And as God's people, as God's more than conquerors, we get to give them a message of hope. We get to give them a message of truth, the only truth. The only truth, because it's Scripture. You will now see the new breed of remnant warriors, whom I've reserved for this new day. Remnant warriors. Now, if you're in this room and you're like, well, I'm not part of that remnant group, that's not what I'm talking about. The remnant group is an age demographic, sort of, but it's more of a life demographic, young families with children or not with children or singles, that age group, whatever. But you can be 80 years old and be part of the remnant, his remnant. You are part of his remnant. So Fran's part of his remnant. She's going to be 80. Isn't it amazing? She's going to be 80. It's amazing. They will have the set countenance of Daniel and will not flinch in the face of evil decrees. They will not flinch in the face of evil decrees. Remnant warriors will now emerge who will have the heart of David, the wisdom of Solomon, the tenacity of Paul. This breed standing forth in this season cannot be bought and will not compromise. Get that. Get that into your spirit and ask, is that me? Is that me? Am I part of this new breed that I cannot be bought and I will not compromise? Yes. Yes, there's one. Yes. Fortunately, I know there's many. Their ear has been tuned to my voice as Samuel's. I will speak and they will follow in humility. They will dominate in my name. Go on to the next. Go on to the next slide. Yeah. I have not called my church to submit to culture. Get that one. I have not called my church to submit to culture. I will arise in the new season with my remnant. The call to my remnant is to arise now and destroy defilement. Destroy defilement in your regions. Do you know that because we're more than conquerors, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to do that? I mean, I don't have the power myself. I can't do it. But he'll do it on our behalf as we press into him, as we press his gates, as we just simply maybe go deeper in worship, as we go deeper in prayer, as we go deeper in study of his word, as we do these things, he responds. He'll destroy defilement. We're vessels. Resist and reign, resist and stand, become my governing intercessors, for I will arise in this season, says the Lord of hosts. I will not stand down. I will not be indifferent. He will not be indifferent. Understand that. He will not be indifferent to your cries to him. He will not be indifferent to your prayers on behalf of someone who is hurting, on behalf of someone who is broken, on behalf of someone who is addicted, and to somebody who is depressed, and somebody who is fearful. He will not be indifferent to your cries to him on their behalf. I will not be a bystander. I will arise and thunder against iniquitous roots and abominations that mock me. And they're all around us. I will arise against idolatry. I will answer anti-Christ government that disdains and mocks me. Next one. I will not be mocked. I will answer passivity with bold, aggressive warriors of purpose. That's us. That's us. He's raising us up. He has raised us up. It's not just in progress. It's happening. It's happening, but everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. My remnant warriors will burn with my message. They will burn with my passion. They will burn with my presence. They shall be holy ghost-possessed reformers. I will answer weak forms of godliness with those who will not deny my power. Rather, they will release it in my name. Demonstrations of my mightiness will confirm their witness, and creative miracles will be seen and reported. You will inhale the essence of my kingdom, the sweetness of my anointing, and exude a confident power as has not been seen before in your generations. Everything in my kingdom will now accelerate. We just heard that word accelerate from Sherry in terms of just even the prodigals coming home. It's going to accelerate. Go to the next slide. You will war different. You will war different. I don't know about you, but I know I'm warring different. I'm warring different. I know Becky's warring different. I know Tony's warring different. I saw Tony over here the other night. And Tony will say, I don't like to raise my hands. But Tony was like, he's warring different. And it's not about raising your hands. That's not even it. But he took a step. Not like he's never done that before. But it was tangible and it was noticeable. You will war different. You will war different. Breathe deeper and dominate hell's kingdom as intended. Step forward, push with my spirit, push in my great campaign. It's time for my ecclesia to bear down and push. Bear down and push. Bear down and push. That's called giving birth. I've never done it. And bear down and push. Step forward and push with my spirit. It's time for my great campaign. It's time for my ecclesia to bear down and push. Push the gates of hell. It will not prevail. No, I will prevail. My remnant will prevail. You shall be more than, you shall more than conquer. This is in this book. This is in this book he happens to be reading. He happens to be reading. You shall more than conquer. He's reading this book before he knows our word is more than conquer. How does God do all this? Because he's God. Because he's God. So shift, now shift into the new season I have ordained. Shift now into relevance and purpose. It is the season of my awakening. It is the season of my harvest. It is the day of my power. Arise with me and run into a new era. So for those that weren't here last week, this is what he's calling us to. This is the plan he's had all along. For this time, for his people, remember, Pastor Shane talked about the Issacharites and Daniel. They knew the times and they knew what to do. He is saying Abundant Life Fellowship or the church at wide. I don't believe this is a word just for our church by any means, but I believe it's for the body of Christ. But he's saying, if you pay attention to me, you're gonna know the times, you're gonna understand the times, and you're gonna know what to do. And he's doing that. He's doing that. Many, 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 many people in our midst today, in this room today, are understanding the times, and they're understanding what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it. You know, when I posted that flyer on Facebook, and I talked about assignments and strategies and things like that, you know, one person responded almost immediately, I got my assignment last night. I got my assignment last night. Somebody else a day later said, I got my assignment this week, and I'm scared. I'm scared about it. Lord gives you an assignment. I understand the scared part of getting an assignment. I get lots of assignments. Not the least of which, being pastor of this church was scary. And I fought tooth and nail to not do it. But he does what he does. He does what he does. He goes beyond. So don't be afraid. Let's go to the next slide. So this idea of more than a conqueror, I said last week when I introduced this word that being more than a conqueror, we're not just squeaking by. We are defeating the enemy. He's already defeated. He's already defeated in Christ. So we don't even have to do that. Jesus already defeated him. But we are defeating his strongholds on loved ones, family, friends, ourselves at times, saying, no, 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 no. No. Jesus won that victory for me. No, 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 no. Jesus won that victory for my son. Jesus won that victory for my son. And we stand there. And we stand until we see it happen. We're not just eking out little wins here and there. No. We are reclaiming territories. We are reclaiming territories. We are reclaiming lives. More than a conqueror. And conqueror by itself is a pretty powerful word. So if you just saw conqueror, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But he says, no, you're more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors. We're not less than. We're more than. We're more than. Let's go to the next slide. Well, the scripture, let's look at the scripture. Go back for 1 minute. Let's just reiterate this scripture. In all these things, and the scripture talks about what these things are, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, you know, I shared that last week, and yes, we can read that and say, yes, in my own life, I know that's speaking specifically to my own life. But the Holy Spirit said, we're taking this word beyond my own life, taking this word beyond our own life, because it's, you know, it's time for the church to be proactive in so many of the strongholds that are all around us. And I shared a slide up there last week that said sometimes the church just sits by and does nothing. We're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that anymore. The Lord has awakened me, he's awakened us to say, no, as you pray, as you fast, as you dig in with me, as you make these things more a part of your life than they've ever been a part of your life, I'm going to do things on your behalf as you commit yourself to seeking my face. Just a really, really simple thing, and I did this last week. I asked how many of you have a cell phone, and you know, of course, almost everybody in the room has a cell phone. I said, man, just look at who's sending you messages. Look at who's on your contact list. And if you don't know who to pray for, start there. And as you start there, Holy Spirit will show you. Like, you know, I've been doing this really since December Pastor Shane challenged us. I'll be praying, you know, and sometimes it's just a mention of someone's name, but sometimes he'll give me a pause and say, oh, pray this, or send them a message, or do this, or do that. And the responses already are too many for me to mention. And then this week, and I think I mentioned this last week too, if you're on Facebook, and I know many of you are either fasting from Facebook or aren't on there at all, and that's fine. The Lord won't let me do that because he said you have a voice and I want you to use it in this forum, and so I am. But the other day, he said, tell your whoever's on your list, and I wrote a little thing, put our flyer up there again, and said, hey, as part of our word at Abundant Life Fellowship this year, our word is more than conquerors, and if you're on my friends list, the Holy Spirit is, I'm praying for you every single day by name. And I said, if you want to share something specific about what you need, let me know. Let me know. You can either post it here or send a message to me privately. If you share this with your friends and somebody, one of your friends sends me a message that they want prayer for something, I'm going to pray for them too. And that's just my the simplicity of me. I'm not complicated. And so it was a simple way to implement just an assignment to be proactive and say, okay, I'm praying over this former coworker from the Vindicator who lives in darkness and deception and all kinds of other things. I'm going to pray for the light, you know, and I do that. And I do that unapologetically. And again, I put that out there. Oh my gosh, I think within half of a day I had 6-7 new things to pray for, situations. You know, people said, yeah, pray for me for this. Some send them privately. Some I just happened to see on their own Facebook page, a situation, and you just, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. Start where you live. Start where you live. Go to the next slide. Some of you are familiar with the author John Piper. He explains More Than Conquerors in this way. A conqueror defeats his enemy, but one who is more than a conqueror subjugates his enemy. That means it means that the things of my enemy are they're submitted to me. You know, not I don't mean us personally. It's all under the authority of Jesus. It's all under the authority of Jesus. I'm not up here saying we all have to become these warriors and people are going to bow down to us. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But as we're submitted to Christ, and we're going to see an example here in a minute, where that stuff actually happens. So a conqueror defeats his enemy. One who is more than a conqueror subjugates his enemy. A conqueror nullifies the purpose of his enemy. One who is more than a conqueror makes the enemy serve his own purposes. A conqueror strikes down his foe. One who is more than a conqueror makes his foe his slave. And man, as soon as I saw that, one of the first examples, and you can go to the next slide, although we don't need it quite yet. I'm going to give a little bit of a primer here. But first person I thought of was Joseph. So we all know the account of Joseph. Joseph, this young man who God has his hand on as a young man, and he gives him dreams, and he gives him visions, and he gives him assignments in his life, and this young buck is bold enough to tell his older brothers about this, I had this dream, and you're all bowing down to me. And they're like, yeah, right, like that's going to happen. Yeah, what kind of an ego do you have? So he has this dream. Well, you know, his brothers kind of get mad at him. Not kind of. They get ticked off at him, and they sell him. They sell him into slavery, you know? And it's one of my favorite biblical accounts because there's so many twists and turns to it. There's so many twists and turns to it. I mean, if you haven't read it, I mean, it might take you a while, but look in Genesis. Just read all of it. Read all of it from beginning to end. Because I think it's really relevant. But the thing about it is, Joseph just remained faithful to God. He just remained faithful to God. And because he kept remaining faithful to God, and again, this is where I want you to get this, as you remain faithful to God, God does stuff on your behalf. Joseph remained faithful to God through false accusation, just being sold into slavery unjustly. But he remained faithful through trial and through rejection, and you know, people forgot about him, but God never did. And every time something bad would happen, it would say, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Understand that as you're being obedient, Steve Burbick, the Lord is with Steve Burbick in his school in Youngstown with troubled kids. Understand the Lord's with you, Dallas Hayes, as you're working on heavy equipment. He is with you. He is with you. And I could go around this room and speak that personally to every one of you by name if I know all your names. I know many of you, most of you. But Joseph was only advanced because he was obedient. We only know about him because of all the things he did. Because of his obedience. God did him on his behalf. So Joseph, of course, ends up being in charge of everything in the region during a time of famine. And his brothers come to see him because they need stuff. They don't know that it's Joseph, of course. And so I got to the end of the story here because I don't have time to share the whole thing. But the very end of the story, and the end of the account, his brothers now know who Joseph is. He's their son. He's a brother. He's a brother. And they sold into slavery. And they're all kind of worried because their father has now passed away, and they're all worried that Joseph is going to seek retribution now that dad's gone, dad's gone, so Joseph's going to try to get back at us, and so they all come together, and Joseph says to his brothers, "Come close to me, When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and no reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He became father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Go to the next slide, I think. Yeah. His brothers came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves. Now, isn't it interesting? We're not just more than conquerors. They become our slaves. Now, that wasn't Joseph's intent at all. It wasn't Joseph's intent at all. But they thought, we have wronged you. We have wronged you. But Joseph, in his love and mercy, said, no, you're not. But the reality is, the picture of what we just read about, when you become more than conquerors, your enemies become your slave. Now, again, Joseph didn't view his brothers as his enemies. They recognized that that's what they were in those moments when they were jealous and when they sold him. But he says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And I share this because it's such an example of Joseph's more than a conqueror was simply just staying close to God through trial, through rejection, through difficulty, through false accusation. One after the other, he just stayed close to God. He just stayed close to God, and God kept elevating him. God kept elevating him, elevating him. And it didn't matter how much he got elevated, he stayed bowed down. He stayed bowed down. So no matter how much he elevates you, you just stay bowed down. Stay bowed down. Stay close to him. Stay close to him. Give him the honor and the glory. Give him the praise, because he's worthy. He's worthy. And then he'll do the things that you can't do. He'll make you more than a conqueror. He'll hear your cries for you, fill in the blanks. I don't know when, I don't know how. Just like Anthony asked me, why is my mother-in-law still here? We've been praying. She's been praying for, but Connie said the other day, she's been praying, she thinks 25 years. 25 years to go home. But you can absolutely be sure that in those 25 years, there's people that know Jesus better because they've been around her. I can point to caretakers alone. But I don't know the answer to the question. But I'm going to praise him anyway. While we're waiting for this transition to take place, Connie and I were in the room the other day singing, and he walks with me and he talks with me. Singing that over, you can go now. No. But she's still here. She's still here. But he'll accomplish. Go to the next slide. I'm already running out of time. I can't believe it. So Daniel, what do we need to say about Daniel? In terms of, again, this idea of not just being a little conqueror, but being more than a conqueror. So, Daniel refuses to bow down. He refuses to follow the edict to bow down to the king. I'm not playing that game. I have a God I serve. That's what he said. I have a God I serve. I'm not bowing down. I'm not paying attention to this edict. I'm gonna worship my God, and he did. And of course, the response was that he was supposed to get he was thrown into the lion's den, and presumably get chewed up by the lion. And the king was even a little bit nervous about doing this. So the night passes, and so the king comes to the place of the den, and kind of nervously cries out to Daniel, like, is he dead? Is he alive? Did his God spare him? I think the king in the back of his mind knew that he knew about Daniel's God. So anyway, he's there, Daniel 6. At the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, no, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Can you imagine, like, if the answer, if it was just like dead silence? And Daniel, I mean, I don't know what Daniel's disposition was at this moment. My guess is he wasn't even the least bit anxious. That he just answered, "Hey, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." Go to the next slide. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Talk about subjugating your enemy. Talk about turning the tables. God did that. God did that in response to his faithful servant, Daniel, who just stayed bowed down. See, I think sometimes we view this more than conquerors, and I know I do even as I'm praying. There's times as I'm praying for some of these things, I get animated, and I'm by myself. There's not, you know, I'm not doing this out in public or, you know, in a big crowd, but I get animated, and I look at these situations, and I think, do I really have to do that? Do I really have to wield my imaginative sword? Probably not. What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, I see purpose in it. For whatever reason, it does something in me. He just does it. I mean, I don't know what Daniel was doing that night, other than probably worshiping Jesus. You know, I mean, there's lions around him. But I doubt that he was like sitting in the corner going, "Don't come near me." But God turned the tables. He turned the tables, and the people that brought the accusation. I have one more example, and we'll wrap up here. Go to the next slide. Esther. And then there's Esther. And if you know the account, then you know. I'm not going to go through every detail again on this one. But here's this setup against her and against her people, where they were all supposed to be killed because they were worshiping God. Because they were worshiping God. And Esther's brother actually had to encourage her. Speak to the king on our behalf. Speak to the king. You got to open your. She had to open our mouth. She had to do something she necessarily may not have done without being a little bit of a nudge. But she did it. She did it. And she spoke. And kind of, you know, filled him in on an evil plan that was being hatched to destroy their people. And ultimately, what happens is, you know, the king finds out about it. The tables get turned. Haman was the evil guy. He attacked the Jews. I've given his estate to Esther. I've given his estate to Esther. So not only is the enemy defeated, not only is the evil plot defeated because of someone's faithfulness, someone's willingness to fast and pray. There was a fast and prayer. Fasting and praying. Before she went in to see the king, she fasted and prayed. And so all that takes place, and the tables get turned. I have given his estate to Esther, and they have impaled him, the one who set up the plan, they've impaled him on the pole that was set up to kill the others. Tables get turned. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, to kill, annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and their children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. Not only did the tables get turned, they get the spoils. They get the spoils. They get the supplies. They get what's needed. They get more and above what they ever thought was part of the equation. And what I'm saying to you is when as we stay faithful to Jesus, as we stay faithful to the challenge that has been presented to us, and participate in whatever way you're called to do, no one's telling anybody, no one's saying you have to fast this way, or you have to fast this long, or you have to do it this way, you have to pray this way, and you have to, there's lots of instruction in Scripture, so look that up, and if you needed help, ask, because some have, and we're giving that. But no one's telling anybody what that has to look like. No one's saying, well, I'm fasting this amount of time, and so you have to do that, and look how spiritual I am. That's not it. That is not it at all. Get that out of your head. We're talking about this only as a means of challenging and instructing and saying there's purpose in it. We see it. We see it in Scripture. We see it over and over and over again in Scripture. And the Lord is raising up a people to say, I am not satisfied that I have friends in darkness. That I have friends in darkness. We're not satisfied that I have friends who are not following Jesus but are going to burn in hell if they're not rescued and if I don't talk to them or if somebody doesn't talk to them. And so this idea of being more than a conqueror in our culture, it requires warriors. And again, the warrior part is in some ways just your passionate relationship with Jesus. Tapping into that, worshiping him with all your might. What's the scripture say? What does the enemy do when it comes to worship? He flees. When God's people worship, the enemy flees. Why is it when worship sometimes is going on, sometimes people have to get up and leave because if they don't know Jesus, sometimes or if they're not walking with him, makes them nervous, makes them uncomfortable. Fortunately, this is a three-part series, so. I was, this is where we're going to go next week. I mentioned this briefly last week. I think it was in my prayer, but this is where we're going with this a little bit next week. And I'm still exploring this myself, but one of the things Pastor Shane shared when he used to sell cars, he gave an example of how when he was talking to the potential buyer about the price, and then he'd go to his manager and work out whatever offer they were going to make. But he said rather than sitting across from the desk of the person that he was making a deal with, he would actually sit down next to them. He would sit down next to them, and the Lord showed him through this that there's spiritual application of that. That when we're battling for somebody, or we're praying for someone to come to Jesus, or we're trying to help somebody through a struggle, that the whole idea of coming alongside them rather than just being in this business transaction sort of thing. No, we're coming alongside. And it was to demonstrate the point that that's what God wants from us. God isn't this all-powerful ruling God who just looks down on us and says, follow me, obey me. No, he says, I love it when you come up close to me. I love when you get up close to me. And I want to pour things into you. I want to pour things in. And as we do that, And so part of our approach in this time of reaching into dark places, reaching into hurtful lives, I have so many things that are jumping off pages to me in terms of people that he wants me to reach out to this year, former coworkers, friends from the past who are lost or confused or in darkness, that he wants me to have conversations with this year, and to just tell them the truth about Jesus in the best way I know how to do it. Covered in his love, but on their own turf, to come alongside them It's not a business transaction. These aren't business transactions. These are personal relationships that he wants to nurture, and he wants to use us in those sort of things. We're going to look at that a little bit next week. But the reason I wanted to bring it up today is as I introduced this word last week, I got a text from one of our members who was here, and he said to me, he said, this word is I'm excited about it, but I don't know about it. He said, I'm not there yet. I don't see myself as a warrior. I don't see myself as able to do that. And the other thing the Holy Spirit said to say to him was, you don't have to be. Right now I'll believe for you. I know just even your response that there's something about it that is intriguing, but you acknowledge it's kind of like the guy said, help me with my unbelief. Just being real and honest about that. So I'll believe for you for a while until you get there, and you will get there, was my answer. I'll believe for you until you get there. And that's again part of this transactional relationship with heaven, not from a business perspective, but from a personal, loving, coming alongside. Hey, you're in darkness right now. Hey, you're in sin right now. Hey, you've been deceived right now. We'll help you until you're not. We'll help you until you're not. And we'll fight for you until you're not. I said from the very beginning, this is not an easy word. It's not an easy word, but it is exciting. It is exciting. Lord will do it. He is doing it. It's not, you know, a lot of times we talk about, well, he's preparing us for this, and he's preparing us for that, and he will do this, and he will do that. We're in it. It is, this stuff is now. This is not 5 years from now. This is not 5 months from now. This is now. This is now stuff. It's already happening. To what that all looks like, to what degree it all unfolds, you know, I have no idea. Probably if I knew, I would turn around and run the other way. Because the bigness of God sometimes freaks me out. The bigness in terms of his plans. I can easily talk myself out of stuff because, oh, that's too hard. That's too hard. That's too difficult. That's too complicated. But he's proven himself. He's already proving himself. What more can he do? He brings a prodigal back before you ever begin. You know, our corporate word of prayer and fasting was 2 weeks ago. It was, let the prodigals come in. I'm going to renew that word for this Tuesday. That word has just come back again. You know, he keeps coming in front of us. So our focus again this Tuesday for our corporate day of prayer and fasting is bring the prodigals home. Bring the prodigals home. That's what it was 2 weeks ago. He brought one before we ever even knew our word. He's doing it. You're a part of it. Let's stand. Understand this is our word for the entire year, so there'll be more about this as the year unfolds. I don't know what all the other pastors will be preaching about necessarily, but my guess is whatever it will be, it will tie to this assignment. I do want to thank you all for your continued prayers for my mother-in-law, for my wife. We don't know when she'll breathe her last breath, you know. But your prayers and support have been, they're tangible. Your outreach to Kalani has been just tremendous. And just understand this, we're not sad. Holy Spirit has all kinds of things in store for all of this, and has all along, and will continue to. I do know this, and I'm just going to put this out there. Pastor Mark needs to hear this. That we've been talking about what we're going to do. In terms of some sort of a service. My mother-in-law would never want. She always said, "Hey, don't have anything for me. If they didn't come to see me when I was alive, don't have them come see me when I'm dead." And so, and that won't be possible anyway. But anyway, my mother-in-law loved concert nights. And so, at some point after she's in heaven, we're just gonna have a concert night. And you may be in this room and say, "I don't even know who you're talking about." Come anyway, because it's just gonna be a time of celebration. She loved concerts. She'd say, people would ask her where she went to church, and she says, "I go to the Abundant Life." It was always the Abundant Life. It's like the Ohio State, the Abundant Life. But she loved concert nights. And so Connie said to me, I think when my mom goes, we're just gonna have a concert at church, and we'll just worship Jesus, and she'll be worshiping in the purest sense. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'll show us what this more than part means for us. More, show us more as we're pressing in. Give us our own examples of what this looks like. I know I have my own already. Some already, but there's more. We're just getting started. We know that. But I thank you for this body. You are and have positioned us to make a difference in our culture, to make a difference in the community, to make a difference in the region, to make a difference in how we love, how we care, how we pray, how we worship, how we do all the things you call us to do. But we will always do it from a position of our knees being bowed down. And we know you will do what we cannot do. You will bring salvations, you will bring healings, you will bring deliverance, you will set the captives free. You will bring in the lost. And you will get all the glory for it. All the glory for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.